This is Engineering Nerdy. Hi, welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Engineering Heroes, a podcast that presents the incredible engineers that are shaping our society and battling our challenging issues. My name is Mel. My co-host and our podcast's resident engineer speaking to us from the trenches is Dom. So today I'm going to start off by telling a little story about myself. And like all good stories, this one starts with Once Upon a Time. Once upon a time, I was a full-time project manager. I fell into the role, but it suited me and my personality perfectly. However, when kids started coming along, I really started questioning what my foundations were, who I am, what my life goals should be. Now, I know I'm not a unique little flower in this questioning. Every person walks their own path, but there's a definite resonance in humanity, and especially in motherhood. Today's guest, I really connected with her journey. While I'm not an engineer, we're both mothers whose lives have zigged when we expected them to zag. We are both passionate about STEM and STEAM, and we're both trying to do something to encourage that in society, but in our own little ways. Our guest today thinks awareness of engineering and engineering principles should start early in life, much earlier than school age even. She will talk about her passion for getting engineering in front of our most impressionable members of society, our kids. Dom? Over to you. Let's get cracking.
STEAM, or Science, Technology, Engineering, Art and Maths, is a topic that's near and dear to us here at this little podcast. It's one that's very dear to our guest tonight. Emily is a chemical engineer who's spent years working as a reservoir engineer with the likes of ConocoPhillips and Shell. But she's on a mission. And while she's currently working as a mum, raising her two young children, she's also encouraging children to explore STEM and writing about being a woman engineer in her blog, Engineering Emily. And her mission? How do we get kids interested in STEM? Tonight we're speaking with Emily Vesseray. Thanks for joining us, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And what a great mission. Is that what you call it as well, your mission?
Yeah, I say my mission is just to raise kids who love STEM. My mom was a math teacher, and she just loved math. And she told me growing up, how you're good at math. We love math in this family. She told us math jokes all the time. And like, I just always thought I was good at math. And I just thought math was fun and easy. And I always took advanced classes in math and never thought twice about it, even though I had like friends who were like, math is so hard. I hate math. And that never crossed my mind because my mom made it like something like, you love this. And we're like, yes, we do love it. So that's kind of how I want my kids and all kids to feel about all the STEM fields, because then you can succeed in it.
Why did you get into engineering?
When I was in high school, I loved math. And I was super into science. I would study genome and genetics. I like read books on that kind of stuff for fun. And I kind of expected to be like a researcher in genetics and genomes and maybe finding cures for things like cancer and Alzheimer's, because I had family members affected by that. And so that seemed really awesome. But then I started to think I could spend my whole life and career researching. Maybe I've contributed to something that will eventually lead to a cure, but there really would be nothing to show for it. And so I had my favorite teacher was a physics teacher, and she actually was a chemical engineer, and she was pretty awesome, Mrs. Walker. And I told her about that. I said, you know, this is what I really want to do, but I'm just kind of worried. I'm worried I'll spend my whole career doing this and never have anything to show. I'm the type of person, I like to make things. You know, I always played with Lego. I make T-shirts. I just like to have something to show for my hard work. Yeah. And she's like, you know, engineers make things. You, if you're an engineer, you can have something to show for it. And I thought, that sounds so awesome. I want to be a chemical engineer and I can make things. And at the time, you know, being in high school, I was like super into makeup and looking pretty. So I thought, I can make makeup as a chemical engineer. And so that was my goal in high school. When I signed up for chemical engineering, I said, I'm going to go and make makeup. And that's why I picked it. And of course, I've done nothing close to making makeup. But you know what? I'm happy that I became an engineer, even though it's not been anything I dreamed about, even in my wildest dreams, that I thought chemical engineering would be. But it's been awesome ride, so that's okay.
Yeah. And you study your chemical engineering, but Dom mentioned that you've worked as a reservoir engineer.
Right.
What is a reservoir engineer?
So the reservoir engineers, I worked for oil and gas companies. I worked for ConocoPhillips, Shallow Beach Group. Reservoir engineers, our basic responsibility is determining how much gas or oil is underground and how much can be produced. So you have some gas that's underground that maybe might not be accessible. We'll never be able to produce it out of the ground to use. But then there's some that you know you can produce. And so it's just, we use a lot of modeling software. It's kind of like, in a way, I'm not like doing what I thought I would do as an engineer. So I originally thought I'm going to build stuff and I'm going to have something to show. And now I'm kind of doing a job that's a bit imaginary. You don't actually see it. You model it and you have to be like a little open-minded and creative about it. You know, there's obviously a science to it. The smartest people in the room are usually reservoir engineers. And I don't know if I count myself as one of them. And I just kind of got in there by accident.
Totally,
I often feel like lucky that I got to do reservoir engineering because it's always like, that the smart kids are the reservoir engineers. I spent a lot of time in a role that we were reporting the reserves, and that's like the financial part of it. So you have to report to oil and gas companies, have to report how much reserves, that's oil and gas under the ground. And it's a really big deal to get it right. Shell's gotten in really big trouble in the past. There's been a lot of stuff for misrepresenting their reserve statements. And so when I worked for them for a short time, when they bought out my original company, BG, I had to go through extensive reserves training with them because it's so important to get it right. So that job just carries a lot of responsibility. People go to jail for not getting it right. I know. And it's hard because it's not something that you ever really can see or feel.
Sure.
It's just it's all modeling and stuff. So it's hard, but it's fun too. It's a good challenge.
What was the first project you worked on as an engineer?
I had a friend who worked in oil and gas at ConocoPhillips in Farmington, which is an even smaller town in New Mexico. And she was like, hey, I love my job. We're hiring. You should apply. And so I said, okay, that sounds cool. I'll apply. I didn't know anything about oil and gas. Like I never met anyone who worked in it my whole life. So we got into this cool program that it was a development program where you got to try all the different oil and gas jobs for 3 months each, which was really good because I was like new to oil and gas. I didn't know anything. So I worked as a drilling engineer and a production engineer and a plant engineer out at the gas plant, reservoir engineer, completion. So all the main oil and gas industry engineering jobs I got to try out for a short period of time. And that was just really interesting to learn about all of them and find out what I liked. And then I finally placed into a plant engineering job. Because I was a chemical engineer, it was a good fit. It's like process engineering. So I worked out at a gas plant, doing a lot of like modeling work for safety process studies. And then I also sized a compressor for the plant that got to be replaced during a turnaround. And that was awesome. I mean, I was like a 2-year engineer and this huge, really, really expensive piece of equipment. I was in charge of sizing it and then watching it get replaced and, you know, working long hour days while they're doing it. We were there like 12, 14 hours every day. And it was really fun. Like I was really young and I was like the first girl to engineer to work out there. And the guys didn't know what to make of me because, you know, guys at gas plants, they've been there forever and they're just used to what they're used to. And they're like, this girl doesn't fit in our box. What do we do with her? And so I really had to work hard. I had to work hard and sell myself to them, and which was a big challenge. Like I thought when I first started that job, I thought I hated it. I was like, I hate engineering. I hate this job because it was just so much hard work. It felt like no one believed in me. I just felt like an uphill battle. like I liked what I was doing, but it just, it didn't feel like support. But I put in the hard work. I went and hung out with those guys in the control room every single day and just got to know them, talked about their lives, their kids, my husband, and showed them that I'm passionate. I care about safety. It's just such a big deal to me. And I wanted to learn everything I could from them. And so they finally came around and ended up being some of the most amazing guys I've met. And I keep in touch with a lot of them still today. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, good on you. That sounds amazing. It sounds hard, yeah, so, but good on you for overcoming
that. It
was
a good first job. It kind of just got me learning like what you have to do as an engineer. You can't just like rely on your education. You have to get to know guys who've been through it and, you know, learn from their experiences too. And don't act like you know everything. Just let people help you and teach you. And
it's almost as though you do your university degree, but you actually do your training once you get out. It's almost like you do a trade and you have to do another X amount of years to before you really know what
an engineer really does.
Yeah, pretty much know anything, especially in regards to the specialist area that you fall into. So yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Our guest has her own blog and website called Engineering Emily. You can check it out at www.engineeringemily.com. The content is all about inspiring women engineers, mums, and kids who love STEM. On it, you can find out a lot more about Emily's engineering journey. We've only really scraped the surface so far. You'll also get to see how much her passion for engineering underlies her interactions with her own children. Everything is captured on her website in the hope it inspires other parents who also believe that age is no barrier when it comes to teaching your young children the basics of engineering in their everyday life.
We need more people in STEM careers. There's definitely not enough, and especially of women. And how are we going to get more people into that? According to the Society of Women Engineers, they say that there's only 8% of women entering college, freshmen, who want to major in engineering, math, or computer science. And that's such a low number, and only 26% of men. So it's still not even very many men, you know. Who want to major in those fields. That was in 2014. So, okay, that was 5 years ago. And I'm sure the numbers have gone up since then. Has it gone up a lot? I doubt it. They're not choosing to enter it. And then once women are choosing engineering, it said 32% of women leave while they're still in college, even. They drop out, you know. And I think it's part of the thing is the isolation. You're in your courses and you're just one of a few women, and it kind of becomes hard. You don't have other people to support you. You know, you like seeing people who look like you. I think that's why a lot of them leave. And maybe also they don't know what engineering is. They might be like me. So I didn't know what engineering really was when I signed up for it. Like I said, I just was like, oh, I'm going to make makeup. I'm not sure. And then I took my first chemical engineering class, and it was like pipes. And I was like, I'm a glorified plumber. What is this? I was like, this isn't what I thought I wanted to do. I'm not interested in pipe design and, you know, this flow through pipes. So I was like, what is this? Like, I did not think that was what engineering was. And I really struggled in engineering school my first few years because it wasn't necessarily what I thought it was going to be. And then I thought it was so hard. I just didn't understand it. And, so I think that's part of the reason why a lot of women leave. And so I think starting from a young age of learning about what is science, technology, engineering, math, teach them about it from a really young age, these concepts, and then eventually move into like what are the careers and get them mentors, because that's how they're going to learn to love it and understand it and maybe not drop out either once they start, because they'll have a better understanding. Like maybe I wish I had like a mentor and being able to work shadow, you know, go with someone to a job of engineering. And then maybe I would have had more of an understanding of what I was getting into before I did it. My goal with my blog, and that I think is a good solution for starting out, is to start them young. Like I've been starting my kids as toddlers since they were 2 years old. We use magnetic blocks for stacking, and we learn about gravity, and we do counting. I've had both of my kids counting since they were two, or even before that. I think my daughter started counting at like 1.5, just because I want them to. Yes, I just want them to love math, and I tie it into everything we're doing. I'm like, count this, count this. What's 1 + 1? You know, I just every day I just kind of make it fun. I make it part of our daily routine, so it's just natural for them. You know, like they're just gonna think this is part of life. This is fun. This is normal. Math is just. That's what we do. And I want math and science and technology, like computer science is a huge thing. I really think everyone should be learning that. I think schools are starting to do more and more of that. But, you know, all the jobs are on the computers these days. And I think pretty much every kid graduating a high school everywhere should be competent in coding. Yeah, should be like learning to read.
I think it's a language that it's basically learning a language, and it's a language everyone really should learn. Mm.
Yes.
So what you're saying is, from a female perspective, the whole end-to-end of a career, you lose them along the way. Mm-hmm. And the same with the engineers. There's so many great engineers working in banks. We were speaking to a guest in the UK, and he was concerned about the same thing, that the numbers in London or in England are quite low as well. So it seems to be there's a lot of countries around that have this problem. And so what you're presenting here is that you've got the whole solution of start them young. So you're doing it yourself, but with your blog, you're actually promoting that. Is that what we're
doing? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really active on Instagram with my blog and my Engineering Emily account. And there's this huge community of women with this similar mission to mine. So they're they're teaching their kids from a young age all about science, technology, engineering, math. There's accounts focused on just teaching toddlers coding, and accounts focused on teaching them science. And it's really awesome. Like I follow, you know, over 500 different accounts, and they are amazing. Like there's just all kinds of moms and just passionate women who are in these fields trying to start to encourage kids from a young age to do these things. And I think it's really amazing. So it's, I know I'm not the only one with this mission. I'm passionate about it. And I just think like a lot of people think this is a great idea to start them since they're very young and do it all the way up through school, you know, start. And I know a lot of schools have adding STEAM programs in, especially starting in elementary school. And that's just awesome. So, because I didn't really get a lot of, you know, specific STEAM education, you know, you do your basic math and science that's required, but, it wasn't like a focus trying to encourage kids to do that.
The schools are jumping on board, but it's almost like the parents are owning it as well in saying, yeah, the schools can only do so much. The parents are taking the responsibility as well.
Yeah, I think it's bringing it back into the spotlight a little bit as well, which is good. Because I know that I had niece and nephew who went through high school, and when I went through, you had to do some form of maths, whereas when my nephew went through, you didn't have to take it if you didn't want to.
Terrifying.
Myself and my brother were sort of sitting there going, what do you mean you don't have to do maths? You need to do maths. Whereas it seems as though people are realizing that it is such an important part of your general knowledge that it's getting that focus back onto it now, which I think is really good.
But I think what Emily's saying as well is that it's parents are bringing it in.
Yeah, like it's the parents pushing it.
Which I think is a powerful movement, and you've hit on something there.
Yeah, I think it has to come from the parents. It's like me, my love of math came from my mom. And I don't think anyone, even teachers, could have maybe made me love math as much. So I think it's like the parents knowing these things are important and then trying to do them with their kids. So that's why I'm posting these experiments on Instagram and trying to make them accessible to all moms. Like I try and say, you have all these things in your pantry. It's so easy. Just go grab them and do this little experiment with your kids, and it's fun, and you know, and your kids will love it, and they're going to see you as the cool mom, and they're going to love science. I think that it has to come from the parents for sure. That's exactly right.
If all these parents keep up this momentum, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, hopefully we'll see more balance. You know, you'll see more women going, choosing to do engineering. And I think that's already starting. You just see, I've been seeing like so many new companies come out with like dresses for little girls that have scientists on them and astronauts. It's so awesome. And like there's dolls and toys specifically for girls that are STEM focused. And it's just become this huge industry. And I just couldn't be more happy because that stuff wasn't around when I was little. You know, the kind of stuff that's available today is like my dream.
Like the books, you saw that, the Rosie Revere Engineer, which.
Yes, we have that one. Yes.
To our kids, which is just awesome.
Yeah, I know.
I love saying
there
that
are
stuff.
So many. So I've been reviewing books on my blog just because I love to read to my kids. And there's one about a girl who codes.
And it's really targeted at that younger audience, either before they're at school, but while they're still under the parents' influence, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a, as you said, it's such an advancing industry.
So when they're under the parents' influence, getting them started with the passion towards it. But then like I'm worried about like keeping that passion once they're in elementary and middle school and they're under the influence of their friends a little more. You know, hopefully enough of the kids will have that passion that they won't rub off on each other trying to say math isn't really fun. I don't like math. And then you start thinking, oh, yeah, I'm not good at math. You know, my son hasn't gone into elementary school yet. So I'm not exactly sure on the elementary school curriculum. And I need to do more research on it. But I've heard that lots of schools are focusing a little more on STEM. And I think that's great. And I hope the teachers are keeping up with it and staying passionate. And the parents will too. And that will rub off on the kids. It's just like hoping peer pressure will lean towards the way of we like science instead of we don't like it. Or we like engineering, you know? So I hope that, you know, once they all like it. And so you're going to peer pressure them into being liking math and, you know, like, why don't you like math? You should like math. Math is awesome.
I really like what you said there is that in the future, we'll see balance.
If it's treated as though it's the norm, when they're kids, then when they, as they go through school, then they're not going to know any different. They're just going to think that that's what you do. That's, you know, that maths is something that you love and, you know, and continue that passion the whole way through.
I hope so. And I think like once there's more women, girls will see themselves in those roles too. Like right now, it's hard to picture yourself in the role because everyone you know who's an engineer is probably a boy. You know, like I knew one engineer growing up and that was my uncle. You know, so I knew one man and he was an electrical engineer. And, you know, my mom was always like, when I told her I was going to be of course, she's obviously my biggest fan and got me interested in engineering, but she liked math. And I told her, I want to major in engineering. She's like, should I buy you a parking protector? You're going to start looking like Dilbert, you know, and she was teasing me. She was obviously extremely proud, but those are things people say when you say you're going to be an engineer, or at least they did 20 years ago. You know, these days, I think it's kind of people are starting to realize you can look like anything and be an engineer, but those were stereotypes that we have. And I hope girls start to see, and boys and everyone, that you don't have to look one way to be an engineer. You don't have to wear glasses. And you can look however you want to look. Everyone can be an engineer. Doesn't matter.
That's what I'm hoping that we're achieving with this podcast, in that, you know, very much if you can see it, you can do it. So we always have 50-50 male and female. And by telling a little bit of your stories as well, hopefully our listeners learn that engineers are just normal people. They're not the whole Dilbert sort of pocket protector. You know, they're cool. They're mums. They're brewers. They're, you know, they're bridge climbers.
So all those people out there who are worried they're going to be like Dilbert, what would you say to people that are just starting out?
Oh, to people who are just starting out? Oh, gosh, I'd say you can do it. It's all about hard work. Like, you know, in engineering school, I did not pass that because I was the smartest kid there. I passed it because I worked hard. I put in hours. I was up late every night. You know, you just have to work hard and have the passion for it and be a sponge, learn from everyone you can, be really open. One thing is like, make sure your voice is heard as an engineer. You get lost as like being the only girl in a room sometimes and not speak up. But just about everything, like your career goals and what you want. Like when I first started as an engineer, I heard my company ConocoPhillips did expat assignments. And I just thought, wow, I want to go somewhere. I've lived in New Mexico my whole life. This, you know, this state in the U.S. that's really small population. I've never left it. I want to live somewhere cool. I told everyone I knew, every manager, every coworker. I was just like, I really want an expat assignment one day. And a boss of mine went to work in Australia and they were hiring. They needed engineers. And who do you think he called? Me and my husband, because I made it clear. Well, first of all, we were hard workers and always did our best job. And that's really important as an engineer. I never turned in work that I was not extremely proud of. Even if it like had to come like an like down to the very end of the deadline, yeah. I would not turn it in early if it was not perfect. So I just did my best job I could. And I think that's so important. You know, I tried my hardest to make good impressions. And so starting out with making the good impression on this manager, and he knew I had this passion for going international, he called us up and said, do you want to come work with me in Australia? And we said, hell yeah, heck yeah, you know, whatever, we'll be there, sign us up. And we took the job, we went to Australia sight unseen. We never even visited, you know, we've never lived anywhere but the New Mexico. I sold everything I owned.
Oh,
we
wow.
did, and we moved there, and it was crazy, and it was awesome, and the best experience of my life. And that's what's awesome about engineering is it can change your life. You can go anywhere in the world as an engineer. It's a great career, and it gives you financial stability. You know, I was able to make the choice to be a stay-at-home mom.
All the good stuff you get to do if you're an engineer.
That's right.
Yes, see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to live and work, and work such a good paying job where I could continue to travel on my time off and do cool yeah. things. And yeah, it's being an engineer is pretty awesome.
I liked how we got to this spot though, because and this is something I actually quite believe in. It sometimes bites me on the butt, but I like how you said, well, these aren't your exact words, but put it out there in the universe. Like if you just put it out there, you say you're going to do it, and somehow it'll work out. Something will come across. And yeah,
I believe in that.
Same.
Yeah, it definitely worked out for me. I mean, I just, yeah, it's definitely the strategy. Like it was something I felt deep down. It was like, I knew I had to do this, you know, and I was just like, I am going to go somewhere. And I didn't even know where I wanted to go until the opportunity for Australia presented itself. And I was like, yes, that's my place. I need to go there. You know, that was where I was meant to be.
Now, just to wrap up, I'm really keen to hear about what's a piece of engineering that impresses you.
Just everything, you know, my phone, but yeah, my car. I got a brand new car and that is pretty awesome. So it's a 2019 Subaru Ascent, and the things it can do, you know, it has like automated cruise control or adaptive cruise control, and it'll sense the car in front of you and speed up and slow down, and collision prevention. So like, you know, if I'm in my garage going a little too fast towards the wall, it will stop itself, which is pretty awesome. You know, you're yelling at the kids in the backseat and it stops for you. So that's great. And just like all of the like safety controls and sensors and like awesome things that it can do, it just blows my mind. I'm like, these cars are getting like cooler and cooler all the time. And just, it's pretty cool.
I have a theory that, well, actually, it's not a theory. It's actually, there's five stages to autonomous vehicles, and that's a step. That's like step two or something, where, you know, step one is you drive and you control everything, but there's the twos, threes, fours are all, you know, the driver assistance and that slowing down. That sort of, even those park, you know, mm-hmm. where the car can park yourself, all those are stages to autonomous vehicles. So they're getting society ready to just let the car drive itself. I see that mm-hmm. as a stepping stone. We're a long way from the horse and cart, that's for sure.
Yeah, I listened to your episode on the autonomous vehicles, and I just thought that was so awesome.
And so just to wrap it up, do you have an engineer that you admire?
Yeah, so, okay, pretty much – I have to say, like, pretty much every engineer I've ever worked with is really, you know, I've worked with some pretty amazing folks throughout all my experiences and all my mentors, and of course my husband.
Yeah.
But if it's someone I've never met who I really admire just because of a similar passion is Debbie Sterling. And she is a mechanical engineer from Stanford, and she founded the toy company Goldie Blocks. which was one of the first toys. Yeah. Yes. So it was one of the first toys for girls, engineering toys. And it's just really amazing. She had such a unique creative concept and she came up with it, and she's an engineer and she has such a passion for it. And, you know, I've watched her TED talk and I feel like she's had a similar experience and background to me when she was going into engineering and her experience in school. And she just has such a strong passion like I do for, and, you know, introducing girls to engineering and from a young age and giving them toys to play with that will inspire their creative engineering thinking, you know, and give them, like, boys have these toys that are for engineers that are, you know, kind of engineering type toys like Legos and Lincoln Logs and things like that, that get them thinking spatially. But there weren't as many toys like that geared towards girls. And this kind of, she made these toys that give girls that unique start too, and that's great.
Yeah, we got given some of those.
Our daughters when they're a little bit older now, so our eldest is 9 and we've got 9 and 7. But yeah, we had Goldilocks when they were younger.
Yeah, no, that's great. I didn't realise. So thank you for giving us that. That has been such a wonderful way to end. And yeah, thank you. We've had such a great talk to you today. I've really loved it.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it too. Thanks.
And thank you for listening to episode 3 of Engineering Heroes. Talking to Emily really made me think about how important it is to encourage a love for STEM and STEAM in the house. And with so many people working in this space, there's really no excuse not to. The future that these activities can bring really is very exciting. Now, speaking of the future, next week we will be chatting to our very first active military engineer. He's an armament and aeronautical engineer and will be taking the time to talk to us about engineers who lead. If you want to keep up to date with our latest information or find out more about today's show, the best place to visit will always be our website, www.engineeringheroes.com.au. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Go and tell someone about it. That's the easiest way to show your support for engineers everywhere. We look forward to you joining us next week when we bring you another interview with one of our engineering champions.